Blog Talk Radio.
Reverend Edward Pinckney, the only pastor in the history of mankind to ever, ever be sent to prison for quoting the Bible. I'm happy today. And I'd like to tell you, we had a tremendous week once again, because I believe in keeping the pressure on the man. I believe in making them sweat when they see my face. And that's what we did. Matter of fact, this whole week, we have been on top of Whirlpool. That's right, Whirlpool, that multi-billion-dollar company that has openly practiced racism and thinking they're getting away with it. But I say no. I say no. Matter of fact, I went chest-to-chest, eyeball to eyeball with them earlier this week, letting them know that we're not taking this mess anymore. And during the period, everybody seemed to want me to come and speak. I'll be speaking in Detroit on tomorrow, January 18th, Martin Luther King, one of the biggest, assembly of people that you would ever find in the state of Michigan is going to be there. So I'm going to be one of the keynote speakers there. And also on Tuesday, I'll be speaking up in Kalamazoo. But I tell you, the fight continues. I will continue this fight as long as I live. And my subject is Whirlpool. I'm going to show them that we have a common enemy in Whirlpool, a corporation that has eaten up our community, destroyed the people that lived here. Gentrification, that's too kind of a word for them. We got to use a word where they're slaughtering and murdering our people. They're nothing but bloodsuckers, and we're going to do whatever we can to neutralize them. But before we go on, let me bring on my brother Larry, a man
hey,
who I love. The man of the hour, a true warrior, a true soldier, and I tell you, he's one of the reasons I'm here today. He took the time out to coach my wife and to help her bring me home. And I tell you, Larry, it is an honor to have you this close to me, because I get a chance to go Pinckney to Pinckney with Larry Pinckney. And that's a blessing. Larry, come on over. Let's hear something that you might want to talk about.
Well, brother, all I can say is your wife didn't need much coaching. I was just there to encourage the sister and let her know that we weren't going to ever stop until we got you out of prison. And then we're going to rev it up and try to, you know, get more folks out of prison. So that's all I have to say about that. But thank you. And everything you said about me is right back at you. So there you go.
Oh, are you using the term right back at you?
Right back at you, bro.
Let me report you to the union. I tell you, it's truly, truly an honor. I tell you, I'm more than happy. And I tell you, like I said before, I probably could never have made it out of there without your help. Because I tell you, you was very instrumental. And you kept my wife on her toes. And she did an excellent job. Matter of fact, every time she told me that she had did something, I was in total shock. I said, well, you did that too? I said, well, that's wonderful. That's what I would do if I was out. You know, and she was doing everything she could to make sure that I get home safely and with your help. And I really, really appreciate you, Larry. But at this time, we bring on a sister that you know extremely well and a person who I had a minute ago talked to. I just want to say, are you there?
I'm here, brothers.
Well, how you doing, young lady?
Evolutionary greetings.
Oh, back at you.
Cisco.
Right back at you. I just said revolutionary greetings right back at you because it's on.
Right.
I tell you, you know.
You're both out of prison.
Yes, yes.
We just witnessed the release, by the way, of about 6,000 prisoners vis-a-vis the earthquake. In Haiti,
mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that of those of about 4,000 prisoners, only 600 were so-called criminals.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Rest
mm-hmm.
Political prisoners.
Wow!
It took an
wow.
earthquake, but at least they're free.
Absolutely,
I know that's right. Absolutely, brother, let's introduce this sister. Let the world, let's introduce this sister so the world know who she is.
Absolutely.
Who are we talking to?
Go, hey, well, go right. Larry, are you going to introduce her? Do you want her?
Yeah, I'll be honored to.
Yeah.
My comrade sister, our comrade sister, Kilu Nyasha, also known as Pat. Pat, am I pronouncing your last name correct?
It's the French last name, which is one of the reasons I dropped it. Galio, it does not identify.
Galio.
Not that I have anything against the French, but it has. It actually was his father's name and has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
Right.
Now, Galio.
Well, let me just say that this sister Kilu Nyasha, or Pat Galio, whichever y'all feel comfortable with, but the bottom line to our audience is that Sister Kilu is a veteran of the Black Panther Party. She has been active, very active, and I mean, when I say active, I don't mean sitting back watching TV. I mean active in the streets. I mean active in terms of writing and supporting in every conceivable manner political prisoners, both past and present, and some of the people that she has been very much supportive of include a comrade brother by the name of George Jackson, who was a former field marshal in the Black Panther Party and who was brutally murdered in prison. But also today there are many, many, many more prisoners that Kilu has been extremely supportive of. And people may say, well, what relevance does this have? It has all relevance because all of us need to be in support of our political prisoners, of which there are many in this country. And Kilu has always made that real. She's always put that in front. I don't want to take a lot of time introducing this sister, but I consider myself honored and privileged to have her, Reverend Pinkney, on our program. She's a journalist. She's out of San Francisco. Okay, via New Haven, Connecticut, but she's out of San Francisco, California, and she's an incredible journalist, an incredible writer. She is what I call a comrade's comrade.
Amen.
And I guess I'll just leave it at that.
That's enough.
And Larry, you know this for a fact. Anybody who's a friend of yours got to be a friend of mine.
Well, right on, brother. Right on.
Well, that's back at you both because
I love to hear y'all. Look, Black Panther member, y'all got me going when y'all keep saying back at you. I gotta say the same thing.
But I think we should move on before we run out of time to talk about.
Yeah.
Really,
absolutely. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's get on with talking about Haiti.
Okay.
Just go there. Go there, sister. Go.
Yes, I really do want to go there. And I hope it won't be too immodest of me to point you to my blog so that you can read the latest piece that I wrote about. I titled it "The Tragedy, the Haiti Tragedy, and the Mainstream Media Response."
Wow!
And you can find it at www.kilunyasha.blogspot.com. And
Kilu, spell that for our listening audience.
Okay, KILUNYASHA.blogspot.com. And the bottom line is that the media has demonstrated its racist attitudes toward dark-skinned blacks in Haiti. And one of the things I point out in the article is that there's right about the same time the earthquake struck Haiti, there was all this talk about Harry Reid's faux pas in talking about light-skinned blacks being able to win the office of president as opposed to a darker-skinned person. And actually, I don't know why they're trying to crucify him when all he did was tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you're right.
You know, and the bottom line is that the racism runs very, very deep in America and throughout the world when it comes to color. This is a color-struck world. And if ever we need, and you know, I point out also that the genetic scientists have nearly a decade ago proven conclusively that, and scientifically, that race is a fiction, and that we are all one human species that originated in sub-Saharan Africa, and we need to get over it. And we need to and I also point out that if it were not for the level of racism and classism, and not in addition to ignorance of the history of Haiti, we would see what a beautiful, valiant, courageous, creative, artistic people we're dealing with. These are, I have long admired Haitians for their tenacity and their resilience and their courage and their political consciousness. I mean, for example, it will not be reported on any of these mainstream media that when the last election was held in the spring and the majority party of President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who was ousted twice by a U.S.-backed coup, and was elected by landslide elections in Haiti, the people's choice, the Haitian majority, Famille Lavalas, was left out of the senatorial elections of last spring. Well, they tried to get away with it and by pumping a lot of money into the campaign for the candidates that were allowed to participate, and the Haitians... who love to dance, love to party, and their music, by the way, is fabulous, you know, ate their food, drank their booze, partied, danced in the street to their live bands and helped them spend their campaign money. And the next day, the very next day, they put into effect Operation Closed Door. The streets were deserted. The houses were, the doors were all closed. No one went out on the streets. The election results at first were reported a 3% turnout. They later upped it to 10%. Pierre Labossière, a dear friend and brother, came up to the, I was still in the hospital, came up to the hospital, and he's usually so serious and solemn. He had a big smile on his face, just telling how reporters went around to, they have transparent ballot boxes, and little white pieces of paper are stuffed in these ballot boxes, and they have monitors. Well, the ballot boxes were empty. They found one monitor who was caught snoring. The turnout was dismal, and they later reported that, well, the 3% to 10%, okay? Well, that translates into 90% didn't vote.
Right.
90% did not turn out, any way you cut it, all right? Even if with their higher add-on, right? So this is the consciousness. This is the level of organization. The Haitians can call a rally or a march, and tens of thousands of people will show up in the streets. You know, when Aristide ran for president the first time, the Haitian people drafted him. Okay?
All right.
Their parish priest who tended to their needs, who looked after them, and they trust him. And if anything should happen now, it should be that Aristide should be allowed back into the country with his lovely
wife. That's right.
Would you,
Sister
yes.
Kilo, would you please also draw a parallel for our audience, or however you want to do it. You do it however you want to do it. But, you know, help our audience to understand how the horror against the Haitian people began long before this earthquake.
Oh, yes, I would be glad to. First off, the Haitians are our collective heroes and sheroes. They are the ones who formed and established the first black republic, the only slaves who literally battled their way out of freedom, kicked out the British,
French,
I was getting to the French.
All right.
The Spanish, the British, the Spanish, and then defeated Napoleon's crack troops.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard of what an incredible general Napoleon was. Well, the Haitians beat him.
Yeah.
Won their independence, okay? And they ganged up on Haiti afterwards, and they love to tout the fact that Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And I've been hearing that, and I'm 70, so I've been hearing that practically all my life. Now, the reason for Haitian poverty is not because they're not a resourceful, creative, energetic, and industrious people. It's because the U.S., Canada, and France, and Britain, and probably Spain in the mix, put an embargo around Haiti once they won their independence, an economic embargo, and France forced Haiti from 1825 until 1946 to pay them, wait till you hear this if you don't know, reparations.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you know, they scream and holler or just laugh at us when we talk about reparations for several hundred years of slavery, right? Free labor, okay? But the Haitians, the French, demanded and forced them at gunpoint to pay reparations for their sugarcane losses during slavery. In other words, they kicked France out, the industry out that was enslaving them, and so France lost its most lucrative industry. In fact, France was forced to sell Louisiana territories for a song and a dance because of the Haitian rebellion.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so, you know, west of the Mississippi, we might all be speaking French if it weren't for the Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, getting back to the embargo and the demand for these reparations, they were forced, they had no choice because all of them ganged up, the U.S., France, Britain, Canada. And so when Aristide was in office the second time around, he demanded of France restitution of that money, okay, restitution. And the equivalent of what was paid out in today's money is about $21 billion.
Mm.
So this is what the world should be demanding, $21 billion, not that piddling, measly chicken feed. I'm trying to keep my language clean.
I know that's right, sister.
$100 million that Obama offered. He spent $50 million more on his party, his inaugural party, okay? He spent $150 million. Now, you're going to tell me with lives at numbering now upwards of 50,000 lost, tens of thousands more injured and in desperate need of immediate help, you're going to offer what would buy a yacht or
exactly.
a house?
Exactly. Exactly. What an insult. I'm sorry, sister. You got me going. Go ahead, Kilu. I'm sorry.
No, you go. You go. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, Kilu, you're so sharp and precise about how you say things, and I want our audience to make sure to understand what Sister Kilu just said. She said that, you know, Obama, who spent, you know, what was it, $150 million on his inaugural?
He spent, I looked it up. I Googled it.
$150 million
for the inaugural ball. Now, he offered Haiti $100 million. $50 million less than he spent on a party.
Mm, mm, mm. I mean, that's like, sister, that's like if somebody fell from a five-story or six-story building and broke their arm or their leg, and I come in and say, hey, here's a Band-Aid. Let me put that on there. I mean, that's an insult. That is outrageous. And you know, sister,
you know, don't realize how that sounds like a lot of money. But you know, Quigley, his first name won't come to me right now, but he's always been there for Haiti. Quigley wrote a piece that I sent out. I forwarded it, and he pointed out that someone just won $148 million in a Powerball lottery.
That's right. I remember reading about that.
Okay,
more,
so you can this is
a Powerball lottery.
Come on.
You see,
on the enemy shows this morning, you know, I call them the enemy shows.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, the weekly news programs that come on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They have all their big guns on those shows, and I'd like to find out what they're saying, right? So
right,
now,
right.
Anybody really is confused about Democrats and Republicans, please note the evil trio, Bush, Obama, and Clinton, all together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bush and Clinton, former presidents, were on Meet the Press this morning and the other one this week, okay? Both of them being interviewed, and the question asked of Bush was, what do you think are the first priorities, what are the first priorities of getting assistance, aid to Haiti? Out of Bush's mouth first was security, then water. Security.
Security
so
first.
Came behind him and realized that was kind of callous, so he cleaned it up and said water first.
Kilu, listen to this now. Why would you even get Bush involved in something like this, and you know what happened down in New Orleans?
Exactly.
Why? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, so yes, it does make sense. It makes sense when you realize that Bush Daddy and Clinton went together to the tsunami-stricken Southeast Asian country.
Oh, absolutely. You're
now,
absolutely correct.
And you realize that when all is said and done, they are together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting ready to move on Haiti and be there for a long, long time. This
That's
is
right.
That's right.
Now,
they've
already occupied Haiti with U.N. troops. They've
right.
been under occupation
already.
Since 2004 when they kidnapped Aristide and exiled him to Africa. He's in South Africa now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have occupied the country ever since. And they've been the U.N. forces have been very brutal. They've murdered Haitians blatantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, they are going to escalate and continue this occupation. Don't forget that between 1915 and 1934, the U.S. occupied Haiti. Then this is going to be the same thing, same soup warmed over. Military troops invaded and occupied Haiti in 1950 and didn't leave till 1934. And after they left, who did they have in place? Papa Doc Duvalier and subsequently Baby Doc. But the Haitian people in the 80s literally ran Baby Doc out of the country. And he had to take exile in France. And I remember it. I was so happy. And the U.S. had to airlift his butt out of the country before they tore him apart.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the bottom line is the Haitian people are a valiant, resilient, keep on coming back. Keep on, knock them down. They will stand up again.
Mm-hmm.
We take plenty of lessons from the courage and resilience of the Haitians. Don't underestimate the Haitian people, not for a second. They will
That's
get
right.
through this somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I definitely believe that they will get through this. And you know one thing? We the people here, we need to stand up for our rights here.
Right.
Because we got the what happened in Haiti is already happening here. It's just
mm-hmm.
that we're not doing anything about it. Them Haitians, I love them. I tell you,
I love
the way they stand up and fight.
Plenty of lessons from their courage and their political consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And remember this is another way. I was reading where they have sent 10,000 troops into Haiti already. And they're expecting more to come.
Oh, yes. And actually, they probably caused considerable loss of life when they vacated a makeshift health clinic, medical clinic,
mm-hmm.
and forced the people who had been waiting for hours for the little medical care that they could get. But let me move on to the bright side of the picture.
Okay.
So CNN, actually CNN video, I was surprised to see that somebody called my, Walter Turner called my attention to it, sent me a link to it. This morning, Cuba has set up a hospital
right
in La Paz in Haiti, and it's functioning very well.
Mm-hmm.
And Cuba already has, Fidel wrote a letter, and he has, they already have 400 doctors in Cuba and many more to come. Oh, they're 400 plus another 400 Haitian medical students that they took and trained in Cuba, and they're sending them back, okay, which will be great because it'll be Haitian doctors who can speak the language, and
right.
and it'll be less problematic. There, I also encourage people to support Paul Farmer's Partners in Health. Paul Farmer has been there for Haiti for many decades, and Partners in Health has done great work on the health care tip in Haiti, and also Doctors Without Borders, and these SOBs set up a Bush Clinton Haiti fund.
Mm.
Please don't contribute to that.
Mm. Yeah.
We cannot put money in the government's hands to use it to exploit and occupy Haiti. We
right.
must. I think we should just ignore the governments and send it directly to the organizations that we know are hands-on doing the work in Haiti
right.
on the ground and get it
right.
get directly to the Haitian people. There's a local group here, the Haiti Action Relief Fund, that we contribute to here, and I know the people here, Pierre Laboursiere and among others who do great work here. For Haiti and are back and forth to Haiti. So, and I'm sure on the East Coast there, and probably, where are you?
Reverend Pinkney's in Michigan,
I'm in
the Midwest. Right.
Okay. Yes, well, in the Midwest, I'm sure there are organizations run by Haitians who know exactly where and how to get the funds to the folks on the ground who need it.
Right. Hey,
Larry, here's the thing that we need to do, too. We need to make sure that those funds are getting to the people that need the funds rather than all these different organizations that are actually
right.
not doing anything. And,
that's right.
And believe me, even on yesterday, we were talking about the NAACP here. What we're doing, we're putting some money together to take it over there ourselves. The headquarters is saying that we're going to go directly into Haiti and deal with these people directly, and that's the attitude that I want to hear from people. I don't want to hear
right.
them saying they send to these different organizations and the money is not getting there. And
well,
I know
yes, corporations and the government
yes.
as Kilu just said, and as you're saying, Reverend Pinkney, and I totally agree, we got to make sure that the people who have been active and serving the Haitian people for many, many years, those are the people where whatever resources, money, or whatever that we have, that's where it needs to go, not the government and not these corporations.
Yeah, the people who love the Haitian people and know what their needs are and care, really
right.
care. And there's not going to be administrative costs and all that stuff.
Right.
Are you feeling me?
Yeah. We feel you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you, this is tremendous. I tell you, it is truly, truly an honor to speak with someone who has this much knowledge in reference to what's going on. And, you know,
I have actually been active in Haiti. I'm not a newcomer to Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Haiti Action. I spearheaded, with lots of help, an event, Jam for Haiti, many, many years ago in an effort to return. I worked with Pierre Laboursiere and the Haiti Action Committee and others here in the Bay Area when Aristide was in exile. And I've been blessed to have interviewed Aristide, and I actually did a portrait of him, which I gave him the original, and I received a personal letter from the palace after he was president. I got in the mail a letter with the stamp of the palace. I hated to see it completely crushed in the earthquake. because it's a symbol of the dignity of the Haitian people. Yeah. But I've met and worked with Haitians, and I met Aristide, and he's a wonderful, humble, very caring, loving leader. And the Haitian people love Titide, they call him, and they want him back. And we need to encourage people to we should demand the return of Aristide, and we should demand the reparations, that the restitution of the $21 billion extorted from the Haitian people, which has left them so impoverished. Okay, those are starters.
Yes, right.
And we need to really criticize the administration for that piddling sum of money that he has pledged, and demand that these super rich, I mean, they came up with $148 billion with a B in payouts for 2009 to these big CEOs.
Absolutely.
We're talking well over $100 billion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bonuses. Come on. This should not have been any figure that did not start with a B going to Haiti.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about.
And, you know, here's the thing, too, that we should demand that the United States forgive that debt that the Haitians owe this country.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not only forgive the debt, but give them back, return the money they stole from Haiti.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
absolutely
right. That's right. In fact, I'd have to say that so-called debt, because
it's not their debt.
The debt is that of the U.S. and Europe in general to Haiti, not the other way around.
Hell yeah. Okay, take this example. Let me give you one example of the type of exploitation. First of all, Haitians used to make about a quarter of all the baseballs in this country. Okay, and they got nothing, while, you know, the baseballs, of course, sold for huge profits. But Walt Disney, I remember we picketed Disney together. The Haitians organized many years ago. The Haitians organized to demand 50 cents an hour as opposed to the 27 cents per hour that Disney was paying them to sew their garments.
I guess so.
Disney said, screw you, we'll go to China. At that time, the wages were even lower, and they did. You hear me?
Yeah.
They did.
Yes.
Okay? So Haitians are Aristide. Another reason they ran Aristide out of there was because he was demanding not much, $2.50, a doubling of the minimum wage to $2.50 a day. Okay.
$2.50.
That's right. That's what he was demanding, and they ran him out of there.
And they left. They left the country.
Right.
$2.50. Let's be clear who ran him out. That was the U.S. government.
Oh, yeah.
That was Canada. Okay. That's who ran him out. It wasn't the Haitian people.
The U.S.
people
in there and took him out. It was the U.S.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. In 2004, right at the bicentennial, by the way, celebration of 200 years of independence, you know. But they've always hated Haiti for being the first black republic, for defeating them, and they have never forgiven them for kicking their butts.
Wow.
And we should never forgive or forget what they have done to the Haitian people, because thanks to the Haitian people, the rebellions, and I'm going to be blunt, the slave rebellions that have taken place in this country, of which the school systems say very little about, thanks to the Haitian people, not just Tiquitan Toussaint or Toussaint Ouverture, but to the Haitian people across the board, the sisters and brothers who fought and were triumphant against the French, and in particular Napoleon's general. We owe a debt ourselves as black people to our black brothers and sisters in Haiti, because they are our comrades in arms.
Oh, yeah, and they also fought with us in Savannah. They gave asylum to Simon Bolivar, and they told him that if they would help him and support, if he promised to end slavery, in Brazil, and they did.
Yeah.
So the Latin Americans owe him a big debt. Oh, I think it was Bolivia, not Brazil.
Bolivia.
Yeah.
But the bottom, yeah. And Venezuela, by the way, is right there, helping Haiti, as is Cuba, and
mm-hmm.
other. Yeah. They're right there. Cuba has their stuff together. They know how to do it.
Absolutely.
You know.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they're a real people's government.
Yes. Yes, they are people's government. And
right. I just want
to
slide in one more thing, and then I'm going to have to go. But
all
I just
right.
have to slide in one thing. While Aristide was in office, he built more schools during the 10 years that he was around than had been built in all of the years between slavery and today and then, right? More
very
schools.
Important.
He had
well, now we can see why the U.S. had to get rid of him.
Absolutely. Hey, before you leave, Q, we got Rap on the line. He may want to ask you a question or two.
Oh, yes.
Ralph Pointer.
Are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi. Hi, Ralph.
Listening to that wonderful, wonderful, instructive history lesson. But I would like you to think of something else. That is a comparison to what has happened to the Haitian people and what is happening to the American colony of poor
mm-hmm.
people here with this subprime loan thing. Disasters,
yeah.
Economic disasters.
And we have, if ever it were time for the people of the world to unite, Ralph, it is today, because 1% of this multinational elite group of greedy guts own and control 80% of the world's resources.
Mm-hmm.
That includes us. And people keep...
big time.
No,
the U.S. is leading the corporate imperialist debacle that is just, you know, making slaves, wage slaves out of all of us.
Right. They not only destroy economies for their own personal aggrandizement, they are now working on the food. And my friends, we will soon see hunger, because they have so mismanaged, as you see in Haiti, dumping of rice on there to destroy the economy. Now they couldn't feed the Haitian people if they wanted to, because they have so destroyed that local economy. It is happening here.
Oh, exactly. And please, I want you to give a big hug when you see next to Lynn, because I love your wife. She's a wonderful woman. We all love her, and we want so much for her to get out of there.
I'm going to tell her about the lesson you just taught on Haiti today.
I've had great teachers out here, and I really do have to go.
All right, well, Kilu, before you go, I want to say to you, for all the audience here, that I love you, my sister. You are my comrade sister. You are wonderful. You are an inspiration to us all. And please, give our strongest love and regards to your son on his birthday. Okay?
All right. And, all power to the people. I love you all. And, on a move. Let's do it.
On a move.
That's right. Listen, Keely,
right.
Before we said, can we get you back on the show?
Oh, yes, I'm very accessible. Larry can tell you.
All right, well, that's what we want to know. And listen, tell your son we all say happy birthday.
All right, I sure will.
God bless you.
Love
now. We will talk to you soon.
Take care.
All power to the people.
Right on.
Absolutely, bye-bye. Absolutely. Well, Larry and Ralph, I say that was one very interesting conversation.
It was
a lesson.
Yeah.
I tell you, it was an education all by itself. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, you know, what they're telling us and what's really going on.
Exactly.
And we sit back and we listen to this news media and listen to what they have to say, and it gets everybody confused. Well, really
mm-hmm.
not confused. They don't understand exactly what's going on. If you don't understand what's
mm-hmm.
going on, then you're confused.
Right.
Well, one of the things I would like to add on this Haitian issue is the ridiculous religious statement that was put out the other day, but more ridiculous than that statement was the silence of the rest of the religious particularly Christian community about that. Did you hear the silence?
Oh,
well,
we heard.
Well, first of all, say the statement so the audience knows what you're talking about, Rob. We know, but say the statement and then go from there, bro.
I don't have it in front of me. But
well, I know the statement. The statement was essentially, you talking about Pat Robertson?
Pat Robertson's statement.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pat Robertson said that the Haitian people are suffering this horror because of a so-called pact that they made with the devil. That's
they
the
sold statement. Their soul with the, to the devil. But here's what
to win their freedom over the French. They fought slavery and they won. So his mentality was such was, how could these people have beaten the most powerful army on the planet?
Absolutely. Hey, but Ralph, you and Larry, on yesterday I met with the Minister of Lions down here in Benton Harbor.
Yeah,
and we had this white guy to get up. I tell you, if it wasn't more blacks than whites in this room, this guy would have been calling niggers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he got up there and told him how he was getting ready to say that Haiti was cursed, and but he caught himself at the end because everybody was, you know, was stunned that he would say something like that. And but the point is, you know, we have to take a stand on that. Even if you're not a minister, you need to stand up when you hear somebody. My question is, if you say that they had a pact with the devil, how do you know back in 1804? You weren't there, unless you're the devil yourself.
Here's the most interesting thing. Haiti, a Catholic nation.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to hear from the Pope? You remember when the Reverend Wright said the same thing Martin Luther King said 20 times, and how the whole media in the church acted crazy about...
Yeah, they lynched him. They lynched
We have this insane man representing, and this is important, representing a major part of the American Christian right, and no criticism from the rest of the Christian movement. Not the black movement. Nowhere have people come out to criticize. They may say, oh, he's ignorant. That's not a criticism.
No, absolutely not.
Tell us. Go ahead.
Remember this, too. Like, you know, when they say stuff like that, nobody comes up. But now what they're doing, these white churches, they're repeating what Pat Robertson said.
Exactly.
I found that out yesterday. They're repeating exactly what I was in total shock when I was sitting there listening to this guy. I was in total shock. I could not believe that he said what he said.
And
of course they're repeating what he said. They feel comfortable. After all, they got Barack Obama to give them cover.
Right.
And he's giving them cover by doing what? By appointing none other than the Butcher Bush, this way, appointing George the Butcher Bush, okay, along with that subterfuge, okay, murderer Clinton and Obama. This is who Obama appoints to exploit the Haitian people. So, of course,
and at this point, Larry, I would like to make another parallel. You know what Clinton and Bush put LSD out, the person who was about to put Haiti back on their feet, to give economic stability, to say something positive that would help the Haitian people. So now let us translate this to the United States. Here we have the criminal legal document of subprime loans that was out there that robbed the work of black people for years. And understand, this mortgage crisis has created a loss of money in the black community almost unparalleled in history. We have to go back to the Reconstruction era when the land was taken, and then forward it to the 50s and 60s when the white folks in the South rebelled to the blacks looking for civil rights, so-called civil rights, human rights, and took their land, the farmland, took it for taxes, anybody who decided they needed to vote. This is unparalleled in history. Now I'm saying the people who were responsible for this, Geithner and company, are now reappointed to oversee us again by Obama. See the parallel?
By Obama. We appointed by Obama. Go ahead, brother.
And remember, Ralph, these people are the same people that actually work for the other. And well, look, we got this whole thing backwards. We think that the Democrats is separate from the Republicans.
They're not.
They're the same people.
Departments in the same corporation.
They're all the same people. All they do was change suits. That's all they do.
So here we are, black people. We're at 4 million now as of January 3rd. And I say it's going to go to 10 million foreclosures before this is over. But along with that, people should not forget that there will be 10 million more people brought down to the edge of disaster if they are to get sick, lose a job, have any problem like that. They, too, will be in foreclosure. Now superimpose a natural disaster here on top of that unnatural economic disaster created by an imperialist, corrupt capitalist system. Mm-hmm. One little windstorm, and we are all in trouble.
That's
and
right.
I say that they have put people in charge to keep us from getting out. I heard Barney Frank say about 2 months ago in the middle of this economic downturn, as they call it, he says, we have a bill in Congress that will make subprime loans illegal. And I'm saying, where have you been, Mr. Frank? They have always been illegal, and let's not just have a bill making them illegal. Let's have a little retroactive action. Roll those subprime loans down, because we now know 70 to 75% of black and Latinos who got those subprime loans were eligible for the regular loans.
Absolutely.
They stole our money.
They've been doing it for years.
They weakened us economically.
Yeah, that's right.
People who did the weakening in charge, and if we get any type of disaster beyond this criminal enterprise that they have set up for us, then we're going to go down the tubes, too. It is not the Haitian people we should be worrying about. No, it is not only the Haitian people we should be worrying about. We should be organizing with them, for ourselves, because these people are going to do the same to us. And if you think that it only happens in New Orleans, any place, they first send the soldiers in New Orleans, never mind the water, they sent the soldiers, and the soldiers killed people. They sent the soldiers, the same thing in Haiti. They sent the soldiers, and then maybe they'll get water. But the Haitian people are on their own, and I hope that this educates a few American people as to what's going on, because I know the Haitian people are being educated. I think the CNN was one of the news medias that showed, where did they go? They went to the fanciest hotel. They went to the palace. They went to where the aid workers were. Hey, I thought this was about the Haitian people. They haven't gotten to them yet. But the Cubans...
Oh, no, well, they don't count.
They don't count.
In the name of counting them, they don't count.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
And I'm sure the Haitian people on the ground, I heard one gentleman interviewed said, we have organized to do it ourselves. And they were pulling this concrete apart by hand with crowbars and ropes and their bare hands with no machinery in sight. So when the infrastructure goes, there's nothing you can do. Now, the infrastructure in America hasn't been touched for the last 60 years. It all went to corruption.
That's
and
right.
to everything else. We have a problem here, a cold winter with water lines breaking, with gas lines breaking. We, my friends, will all be in big trouble, and we had better understand the nature, and as Larry was saying just a moment ago about Mr. Obama, there I remember it hasn't been so long ago when the euphoria of Mr. Obama was around, and I'm a kind, gentle person, and I've been going to meetings lately, and I see people who wouldn't talk to me, who would turn on their heels because I had said something negative about Mr. Obama. Mm. Well, they come over and give me a hug. Now, in the cause of unity and try to get people to understand, I assume that they have understood the error of their ways.
Yeah.
And I cannot assume, because a lot of people have been silent about their support of Obama, but I want a little more. I want them to stand up and say, we made a terrible error. We got emotional instead of intellectual.
Absolutely.
And we must undo this.
Mm-hmm. And Ralph, what would you suggest that the people do now?
For our group, for our personal group, those who get up in as late as 2 months ago would get up and say, yes, I voted for Obama. And I said, now what we really need, not in the vein of standing over you or telling you something, we want you to tell us in your own words how you were blinded by this man. What about him blinded you? His speaking the English language, his dressing in a certain fashion, the color of his skin, his subjugation of himself to the imperialist powers. What about him made you so adamant in support of it? And I insist on that from Emira Baraka, all of the rest of the people, and I say names, all of those people. I want them to tell me in their own words, why were they so blinded? What about
that includes Cornel West.
Themselves. What about yourself that made you so vulnerable to this system? And it is a system.
Let me say this. You heard of that Michael Dyson?
Yes. Be careful.
God.
You're going to make me angry here.
We don't want to make you angry, but Michael Dyson, it looked like he may have flipped the script on Obama. It don't sound like he's one of his he's a member of his fan club anymore. He seemed like right now at this stage that he's no longer a member of Obama fan club. Him and I think his name Boris Watkin. I think I sent you that information, Larry.
Yeah, I read it.
Okay,
he's out of Syracuse, New York. Go ahead.
Right. They're not in an argument. They were in a debate because Dyson has informed the people that he's no longer on his bandwagon.
Okay, I would ask Dyson to go further. What about this himself, that he was able to be so easily pulled into this net that other people saw so clearly?
Mm-hmm. Right,
and
right.
One of the things I would say, along with what you're doing out there, Reverend, is your sanctions, economic sanctions against Whirlpool. We must expand that to have economic sanctions against all of those people, all of those corporations, Monsanto, et cetera, who supported Obama. We must make our voice heard in every way we can. So
Absolutely.
This is a double thing. Make those intellectuals tell us how they were so captured and make them have a class with Larry Pinkney.
That would be good, but maybe they were
re-education class.
Right, but they knew what they was doing.
They knew they were doing.
Right, they knew. You know, people like the Whirlpools in the world and the Monsantos and the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, all these different people. They knew exactly what they was getting. They knew that they got a man who they could buy. And
you know, in South Africa, they had the reconciliation, et cetera. I would like to see in the churches the people sit down and have, a little confession, a little self-criticism as to how we got in this position. But the sad thing is, I remember when the churches all got behind the Supreme Court justice supported by South Africa, Israel, and the corporation, Clarence Thomas. And I said, Clarence Thomas is the enemy. But all of these preachers in the churches who got behind them and took the gold coins from South Africa and Israel and then pushed Clarence Thomas because he was black, then suddenly when Clarence starts doing these terrible things, these people disappear into the woodwork. We don't make them accountable. I want to go to the Christian leadership.
These people knew what Clarence Thomas was going to do. And these Amiri Barakas, a.k.a. Leroy Jones, Cornel West, who's trying to pretend like he's no longer a so-called critical supporter of Obama, and all the rest of these so-called black intellectuals, all these Amos and Andy Calhoun, they knew, and I will not forget that they knew. They knew what they were doing. They knew that they were selling out the people.
I'm pushing re-education camps, and run by Baldwin and Larry Pinkney. Let's
all
set
right.
them up and charge these gentlemen money that they could come and spend a week and listen and flesh out that part of them that made them so vulnerable and susceptible to this sickness of... what did you say? Revolutionary theology, Reverend. You're out there doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're one to lead it. And you can tell them you've been doing it, and you can help them through this. And
oh,
this
absolutely. I would like them to come in and I'll set up a confession for them. They can just call me on the phone and confess.
I'm for that, and I'm going to push
right.
that.
They can call me on the phone and confess. I won't tell nobody.
Okay,
but after that, brother, they're going to come to my class.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's the beginning of the class.
I'm charging a little bit of money that's going to go to the people. You dig?
Right.
I'm going to charge them some money to go to the people. After they confess to you,
yeah.
okay, then they need to confess to the people.
That's right.
And they need to come to my class, to my revolutionary re-education class. So
that's
they never happen. Again do what they have done to the people.
Let's bring them out. Read all those articles you wrote and write a report on them.
That's
so
right.
That we know that they have been cleansed
mm-hmm.
of a mistake. And I'm serious about that because I tell people, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm not going to hold it over you, but I would like to know, what about this? It was so obvious to so many of us. What about you that you didn't see it? Just tell me.
Right.
I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Or, and I think there's something else Larry Pinkney pointed out, we will expose the fifth column amongst us.
That's right.
So many people say, I love Obama. I love his wife. All of this nonsense. Now, what about him? Now,
mm-hmm.
tell me,
mm-hmm.
what about him?
And look, and his $100 million he sent to Haiti, huh?
You
got to be ashamed of yourself.
You're making me excited again.
Yeah, he got to be ashamed of himself. Not only did
he
feel
shame.
Yeah.
People like that don't have shame. They don't know what shame is. And this is what I tried to write about 2 years ago. I tried to tell the people in www.blackcommentator.com. I tried to tell the people Obama is not among us. He is not of us. He does not represent us. He doesn't care about us. People like this have no shame. This is why Barack Obama can appoint George the Butcher Bush. And Clinton, Clinton, the juggernaut Clinton, this is why he can and does this. This is why Obama can give praise to the Confederacy. That's right, the same Confederacy
that
lynched, that lynched and enslaved black people. We need to understand who we're dealing with. And the Cornel West and the Murray Baracus and all the rest of those sellouts.
Larry, I'm glad you brought up Lynch. Because we know Willie Lynch.
That's right.
The deadly lynched. Yeah, absolutely.
Deal with that. We
That's
have
right.
all been Willie lynched. How is it
right.
that this man was able to step in?
Yeah, absolutely.
So easily.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And how do you bring a George Bush back to do anything for black folks?
I'm amazed.
Yeah, let's be real. Why would you bring a George Bush, even a Clinton? Clinton ain't did
mm-hmm.
nothing. They go around calling he's the first black president. Yeah,
He's the first black. Okay, let me put it this way. I tell you what, he's the first black. He's
uh-huh.
the first black perpetrator. You
yeah.
know? He ain't black. Okay, he pimp. He's a white pimp. Okay, that's what he is. And,
all
and
right.
let's
well, listen, we only got 1 minute.
Let's
hear from Ralph, then we'll hear from Larry, and we'll close this baby out. Let me wish my grandson, Blake Williams, I just want him to know that I love him. I want him to keep up the good work. I want him to just think positive. And I think when he listens to the show, I hope it educate him. Now, Ralph, go right ahead.
I'm thanking our sister from California for remembering our sister Lynn, who is in prison, for telling truth. Lynn Stewart, 53504. 054 MCC 150 Park Row, New York, New York, 2 South, 53504. Write to her, put your return address there, go to her website, lynnstewart.org, to get the information. She will write you the answer. She will answer your letters, and we must support our political prisoners. Hey, there's so much more, but 1 minute doesn't allow it.
That's right. Go ahead, Larry.
All I have to say is all power to the people. Thank you, Sister Kilu and Yasha, Sister Pat, for being on the program. Folks, out there in audience listening land, we got a war. We are at war. It's time to fight and regain our human rights.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you, it's been amazing. And I want to thank Ralph, I love you. And
love you.
Sister Kilu, I love you. Larry, you know I love you. And I tell
you,
it's been truly, truly amazing. I tell you, I can't get enough. But look, we will be back next week. And I tell you, we are into truth-telling. That's all we're doing. We want the world to know that we're in truth-telling. That's all we want to talk about, the truth. And at this time, I think we ran out of time, and I will be talking to y'all very, very soon. God bless you.
Love you, brother.
Love you.
Love both of you, brothers.
All right.
Take care, Ralph. Take care, Biggie.
Love you.
Take care now. God bless you.
All right.
All right, then.
Bye-bye.